Now tonight, for a few minutes, I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. Little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. And the beloved disciple is speaking here in a very gracious and tender way to the church, to the new converts, those who have recently come to Christ. He says it's the last time. There are all kinds of evidence about us that the time is at hand, that the Lord's going to come. When He comes, He says, we're going to be caught into His presence. A beautiful, beautiful presentation as He begins here. First, we can't be a part of the world, and we can't. We're not of it. He says, I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye have the truth. That's verse 21. And ye know that no lie is of the truth. Then He comes on down. He says, little children, abide in Him. When He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Everything right now is shaping up on this old earth for that moment when the trumpet will sound and the dead shall be raised. Everything shaping up in the world at large as men reach out into outer space, and right this very moment we have a rocket making a journey to Venus. Man's probing this great darkness of outer space. I like to think about it because it constantly turns my mind back again to the fact that when the Savior comes, He's going to turn the light on the universe and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I love to contemplate what it means in the creation of God, and then I think of the terrible darkness that's fallen over the world and over the heavens. The sin. If you want to know what sin did to mankind, just look at our condition here. How we've moved along through the centuries, just groveling in our ignorance. Little light here and little light there. Now in the latter days, we're reaching out to the moon and we're going to go up there to Venus. And all we're trying to do is to get near enough to that cloud that shrouds Venus to try to find out a little bit more about what's under that cloud and what's up there. Beloved, God knows all about it. And God has shrouded this darkness, He's put the heavens in darkness in order that man might recognize that he is lost. We are a lost race. We are a lost people. And we are a people who have only one destiny, and that is dust and the grave. And the only hope, the only light that there is on the face of this earth tonight has come to us out of heaven when God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with sin. And I read this text of ours, little children, it is the last time. It's the last time. And it's time for us to take stock. It's time for us to stop and to consider our years and what's being done by us in the service of Jesus Christ. Beloved, everything else is vain, everything else is useless, everything else is without any standing in our sight except that which will abide the judgments of God, and that which will endure for eternity, and that which brings men into the knowledge and the fellowship of the living God. The only reason I'm interested in defending the faith is that we might be free to preach the faith. The only reason we're interested as a church and as a people in what we're seeking to do with Dr. Gayros and others is that we might build the right kind of churches, that we might send out the right kind of missionaries, and that we might carry on a ministry that will preach the gospel to lost sinners, that these lost sinners may come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the place to do it, and the place to begin, is right in Collingswood. It's right here where we're carrying on our labor and our ministry for the work of Jesus Christ. We can inspire others, and we can be challenged as we have been today with the joy that's in our hearts. But, beloved, it has to come home right here to where you sit in these pews. and where you listen to your pastor as he presents to you the truth from the Word of God, and as he appeals to you to live the life and to give your witness and then to work for the sake of the testimony of the gospel in our church and in our town and in our county and in our country. You know, it does something to a preacher. If we're to preach a sermon like I did this morning, and you heard it, as I just took the joy and the rejoicing that's in our hearts, and that third airplane's coming in this week, and when it lands over here, the transportation problem has been completed of bringing these people across this great North Atlantic, and just think of the big sweep of it. And then these men are going back, and this joy continues to be in our hearts, and I want you people to share in it. I want you people to catch the vision and the challenge of it. And I want this to go down into every activities of our church, and I want the choir, when it sings, to reflect the testimony and the blessing that they gave to Amsterdam when they sang there. I want every avenue of this church and its ministry and its activity to reflect the pastor's message this morning. But after I preach that message, and you people disbanded and went to your homes, at 1:30 in the afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ knocked on the door of one of our homes, and he came into that room, and he said to this dear Christian brother who's been living for 84 years, "Your work is finished, sir. Won't you come with me?" And he took him gently, took him quietly, took him peacefully away. And here I am preaching again tonight, and he's gone. It might have been you that the Lord decided to take away. It might have been me. I might not have been preaching here tonight. The Lord decided to take me away. But out of this congregation, as we assembled just a few hours ago in the morning worship, and we were here rejoicing, and we were so full of happiness together and what God has done for us, God reached down at 1:30 and says, "I want you to come, brother. Will you come up here? Your work's finished now. It's all over. And you can enter into the joy of thy Lord. You can leave this old world with its death and with its misery and with its troubles and with its struggle for existence and with all the disappointments and the heartbreaks. Come with me, will you please? I'll just speak to you." And so he called his name, and he took him yonder into the skies to be in the presence of the redeemed for every age. And I stand here tonight preaching the gospel to you people, and heaven is so close, can't you just reach out to it and shake hands with those who are on the other side? And isn't it interesting today how I spoke about spanning the oceans and how you'd get in first through the doctor and then through the customs, or the immigration and then through the customs, and then we were in a land of liberty. And oh, beloved, to take leave of this old world and to go into the presence of the redeemed of every age and to receive the welcome that awaits us on the other shore among those who've gone on before us, who fought a good fight and who kept the faith. Oh, what victory, what triumph, what a glory it is to the redeemed to have such a destiny and such an anticipation. All about us here, people have no purpose. They have no hope. They have no reason for living. They're finding their satisfaction in their lust. They're finding their pleasures in the things of the world. They can't understand those of us who will come to church on Sunday night. Those of us who will rejoice in a conference in Amsterdam. And those of us who will praise God that a number of years ago when we were praying and praying for a doctor in Kenya, that he'd speak to a medical doctor in Collingswood and send him off over to Kenya with his family and then bring him back here after these years to give his testimony that out there he's been ministering the Word of God as he's ministered to the bodies of men. Beloved, this is a ministry. And those of us who've seen what it means to be born again, to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, We are the ones who must carry it on. We are the ones who must continue the ministry. And we are the ones who must preach the gospel and then pray that God will raise up these young preachers and these young missionaries and these young leaders and fill our schools and send them to our seminary and then give us what we need to carry on this work in order that the testimony might be preserved to Jesus Christ. It is infinitely harder. It is infinitely more difficult to preach the gospel today in the United States of America than it was at the turn of this century. It's far more difficult for a man to stand in his pulpit and to preach the word of God to people right now than it was 50 years ago. And in the midst of the added complications and the added difficulties and all the enticements and the pulls of the world today, which is challenging and calling the mind of our young people to an entirely different concept of life than that which we have in the blessed book. You and I have to be diligent, and you hear the words of this blessed beloved disciple say, little children, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Dr. Gayrow said something, I don't know whether you heard everything he said, but he said something in what he was saying that struck me. He said, this model church. Where did he get the idea that we were a model church? Well, we ought to be. We ought to be. Did you hear him say that? Yes, we ought to be. We ought to be a model church. Oh, how good God's been to us. But every member of this church, every family that's connected with this church, every person that's identified with a Sunday school in this church should be rejoicing in the things of God. And we should be filling the house of God. We should put the things of the kingdom of God absolutely first. When I went to Mrs. Alexander's over there on Collins Avenue, walked in, and there she sat in her chair at the center of the room. She's been the sick one. She said, Dr. Langdar said, we just came back from up in New York because I was the sick one. She was the one that, she said, you know, Mr. Alexander got my breakfast for me this morning. I was the sick one. But she smiled and she says, he's with the Lord. Oh, beloved, to see this act of separation take place when God reaches down and the Lord says, one of you must come and go with me. And then to see that reaction come and say, yes, he's with the Lord. And then she said to me, she says, I'm 83 almost, she says, and it won't be long until I'll be going too. Think of hope, assurance, anticipation. How those things take away the sting of the temporary parting that comes to us. Of course, I took the Bible. She had her Bible laying there just by her side. I picked it up and I began to read, you know. Oh, beloved, you can talk about the troubles of Brazil and you can talk about fighting these apostates all over the world. We've got to do it. But the most precious thing is to just take this blessed book in an hour of sorrow. Just read this passage. Read it. And I read that wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 1, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. My, wouldn't it be wonderful if every last one of us could be there tonight instead of just one who left us this afternoon? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would just take every last one of us out of this place into His glorious presence? And I went ahead and I read that blessed passage. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's gain, it's better, it's present with the Lord. Think of that being in the Bible. That's what we're fighting for. That's what we're preaching to every man everywhere, that he might believe in the Son of God and receive the gift of everlasting life. That's what it's all about.
You know what, that dear Mrs. Alexander, she sat there in that chair. She says, Dr. McIntyre, she says, I believe every word of it. Isn't that precious? I believe every word of it. And to think that you can preach the gospel, you can minister in this church, and you can deal with these mighty issues of the day, and then when the hours of need come, we have it for our comfort, and we have it for the assurance of faith which blesses our hearts. Beloved, I am a redeemed man. I have been born again by the power of the gospel. And it's this power, it's this gospel, it's this message which will change you. And furthermore, it will give you that comfort which you need, and it will give you that marvelous blessing. You know, this morning in my sermon, I talked about the baggage that you carry along with you after you get to customs. Yeah. Mr. Alexander left this church, took his baggage with him. He went. What are you going to take with you, my friend? What are you going to have to show? What are you going to have to present to the Lord? What are going to be your good works? What are going to be the trophies that you lay down at His feet? Do you look at your life as a race that you're running? Do you look at your years as time which is being added up and added up and added up in order that you might glorify your God? Or do you just live haphazardly from day to day and week to week without any purpose, without any goal, without any anticipation? Oh, beloved, when you preach the gospel to lost sinners and men are saved, and then when you preach this gospel to those of us who have the truth, the apostle says, I write unto you not because you do not have the truth, but I write unto you because you do have the truth. Little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. And if you people listening to me tonight could grasp the import of what the apostle is saying to you as he's speaking to me, little children, you need help. Little children, God can take care of you. Little children, it's the last time. You would be up and you'd be busy and we'd be working, we'd be witnessing, we'd be evangelizing, we'd be building our Sunday school, we'd be done with a lot of pettiness and we'd quit our tail-bearing and gossiping and we would concentrate upon these things which are going to build for righteousness and are going to build a great church which will be a model church for a 20th century reformation. Dr. Gayrus, you've left me a phrase tonight that they'll hear about for some time to come. That's what we ought to be. Little children, it is the last time. When I picked up that well-worn Bible, I found out that Mrs. Alexander has a habit of collecting little poems and putting them in her Bible. My grandmother used to do that. So as my Bible is, I mark the thing up so, and I use it so if I put anything in it, it falls out. The trouble is mine. But a lot of you people do pick up these little clippings and little poems and little things slipping in your Bible. That's a good place to put them. Let me read you this one. The prayer of an old disciple. Zechariah 14:7, at evening it shall be light. My Father, I would rest upon thy word. I need a safe and easy resting place, where my faith's visit never can be blurred while I behold the shining of thy face. My Father, in the battlefield of life I need to realize that thou art near. Then, though prolonged and fierce should be the fight, it cannot cause thy child one faithless fear. My Father, soon the shadows of the night may dim and hide my rough and lonely way. As now, I then shall need thy guiding light so that I may not fail nor go astray. my father. I am old and getting frail. Alas, I am not what I used to be. Lest I at any time should halt or fail, do thou uphold or even carry me, my father. Many dear to me are gone to where the weary have eternal rest. I need thy help that I may follow on to where thou art and those whom thou hast so blessed. Look at the other side. When I get old, Lord, keep me sweet when I grow old. And things in life seem hard to bear. When I feel sad and all alone and people do not seem to care. Oh, keep me sweet when time has caused this body, which is not so strong, to droop beneath its load of years, and suffering and pain have come. And keep me sweet when I have grown to worry so at din and noise. And help me smile the while I watch the noisy play of girls and boys. Help me to remember how that I, when I was younger than today and full of life and health and joy, would romp and shout in happy play. Help me to train my heart each day that it will only sweetness hold. And as the days and years roll on, may I keep sweet as I grow old. Oh, keep me sweet. And let me look beyond the frets that life must hold to see the glad eternal joy. Yes, keep me sweet in growing old. Little children, it is the last time. Let us pray.